Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really honoured to be here. It's been a lovely trip so far. So I've got a little booklet, actually, a little pamphlet. I sketched it, the cover, on my recent holiday in Cornwall in the southwest. And it's kind of there's a poem, the last poem's called Love's Last Remains by myself. And I painted me and my wife as corpses there. It's a painting of the last poem. When I look at it now, she's sliding towards me, and I'm sort of look as if I'm saying, "Do you come here often?" Which isn't what I intended. But anyway, it's a poem. You can meet me and buy one for a fiver afterwards, if you choose to. And I've got these two to be kicking off with because I don't want to do the same here as I'm going to do in De Barra's. Try and keep it a little bit different. This poem is about this Scandinavian concept of Allemansrat. Years ago, I was on the TV, 6 o'clock news, for the Right to Roam campaign, which had some traction in England. Scotland has it. England completely doesn't still. There was 6 o'clock news, or was trampling turnips straight after Yasser Arafat. One of my proud moments. So this one is called Unforgiven Trespass. As mist explores the folded wolds, as smoke beguiles a strath from a gypsy's billy can brew time blaze, crackled from apple or cherrywood sticks, if directed a route, I'll meander a trail like a whimsical sloth or a curious snail with a surplus of mucusy goo. No longer misguided by rights to a way, I drift where I bloody well like. Let the lord of the land take an overly privileged hike, and all of the duchy or duchy and all of that ilk, freshly pomaded in Harris or silk, who embezzled our wealth to claim all of the land, laundered through centuries of slavery's guilt, they hold fast to mistruth, that the sands of time may be softened a lie, help to soak up the blood spilled by their own blood's greed. Thank you. That's that one. This other poem that isn't in the book. During the pandemic, I used to work in do something completely different. But during the pandemic, I took a role to natural burial ground nearby. For 2 years, I worked there, set in liminal landscape. I don't know if you know the English landscape, but within half a mile, the River Blythe rises, and that ends up in the North Sea. And the other side, on this just a bit of a bump, is a river called the Inchbrook, and that ends up out in the Bristol Channel into the Irish Sea. So it's quite a magical, mystical landscape. And it was a landscape once owned by the Knights Templar. So I worked there for 2 years during the busy pandemic. Cemetery gardener. Schlunk of the impact, the sickle hits home. Glances by chance off my knuckle bones. Still blossoms a bloom of heavy pulse claret. A blood-offered field to the Templar's fields. Cold-tempered steel away hard to the blade, splits to scalp, slices the back of my hand. Sanguine to settle my fate, an homage to give sake this old warrior's landscape. Cold iron blade, hemoglobin saturated, visceral sense of my intimate must, oxidized, mingles my essence with rust. I'm all calloused and scarred, toughened up tight in my gardener's skin, thickened up brown, keeps the vitamins in, yet where my fattened calf slims to my foot, lily white, hairless, latex denude, the biters can sting, with a needle intrude, take a bellyful off to invigor a brood. Makes me sober to realise we're mostly just food, if a lion or a shark took the mood or a chance. I'm a romantic poet who craves happenstance, with an elegant grave after all, with a Byronic backstory prior to my fall. Thank you for that. Into the little pamphlet here now. There's a lot of burial and decomposition in this, so This one's called Gravy Boots. I wrote this the day before. In my role there, I didn't always dig or fill the graves, but if the grave digger was busy, I'd happily help him out. It felt a noble thing to do in the pandemic. It was the most honest job I've ever had in my life, to be honest. An epiphany felt in my bones, an emergence of truth in my gut, that a human being's only alive if they're digging a groove, not entrenching a rut. As I backfill a freshly cut grave, as each gravelly spade fully clatters back, bounces the box, should I soften the drop, maybe gentle the score, or just shovel I mad to have done with these rocks, all alone in this pebble dash, rattle of stones, my inaudible client, replete on his own, no more need of these weary old bones, brought back down to his old mother earth, embraced to a bosom, four score after birth. This one called Schrodinger's Cats. Mattockin clods on my allotmented plot, boring old steady state me. Occasionally strums an out of tune ukulele. No longer desires to ride a jet ski. Drove to work for half a decade listening to Radio 3. Perhaps I'm just a sleeper cell of who I'll finally get to be. So deeply ensconced, the algorithms can't tell. A vitality charged, semi-virtual spark, half in a dream, half in reality. Wonders what's actual, maybe not what it seems. Senses react within the space of a mind, but in the tense of a present, fell from further behind. A younger myself that future me hardly knew, invested time in his now, so future me could pull through. Whatever on earth was he destined to do, even if he had a half a chance? Start a revolution? Make a fortune in narcotics, fund robotic spaceflight out to Proxima B, see what other crazy bangtail cats there might just be, way out of sight, sharing similar forms and plights despite the light years apart. Schrodinger 1 plays out his industrial consumer role. Schrodinger 2, by the grace of duality, whiskey and weed, glides through the galaxy, surfing his actual soul. I read a book recently by a guy called Martin Shaw. It's all about fairies and folk and lore, you know. Anyone know Martin Shaw? Fantastic writer. Feral Twin. Well, where my wilderness twin beckons me in to immerse in his ocean, half adrift on floods of fear, half adrift on floods of flows, half afloat on feral fear, to lose myself in a wooded glen, without any map, on my own canny ken, where the stream meets the slack of a moon-fattened tide, kelp in the mussel beds, cockle paths shine, adrift in elliptical hours, in the glare of a galaxy's glow, naked, bedaubed in salt iodine clay, my soles roll over my heels, knead a gravel bank grind, as a breeze on my lips flickers mackerel bands on estuary sands where it streams into tidal deep pools that soak me back cool, while I float in a physical dream. And this one, I had to check a few cultural references that you all know David Attenborough, and maybe do you all know Jacques Cousteau, because he's quite important in this. Right, okay, that's a relief. The World About Us. Explored for me by proxy, exotic and remote, observed upon my telly, the coolest man alive at least, the coolest man afloat, Monsieur Jacques Cousteau, on his sunbeach schooner Calypso, named after a funky dance and a Caribbean breeze, with an uber-Gallic accent, gitan tucked behind his ear or at the corner of his lip, togged up, strapped on aqualung, then rolling backward off his ship, filming sous la mer pour nous in graceful paced aquatic dips, coral forests, cephalids, dolphins ever at the prow, or flicking fast beneath a keel. It made this landlocked Midland kid in wonder what on earth they think or feel on our Ready Fusion rental when it wasn't on the blink on Sunday nights, the world about us. Watch a gog, the leopards pounce, the cheetahs twist and jink, the lions tear gazelles to shreds, to sink inside a zebra's hide, their non-retractable claws, and just as the tension soared, they'd pan off to a shallow pool, interrupt my bloodless brink to a semi-saline lake, crammed without a single jink, gormless, leggy, clone-like stalks. Film crews working Tanzania who definitely had too much to drink, squandered reels of celluloid. Cranes standing in lot ponds, eating mini prawns or standing on one leg. Their beaks are upside down until they stick them in the water. Cut back to the lions, David. Show me righteous bloody slaughter. Tangled arteries, ruptured veins, gouting floods of crimson tides that painted Gore Street glorious manes. Serengeti's grassy plains where species fortunes featured fickle to the seasons. Storms of rolling thunder herald bands of driving vicious rain. Pristine washed the scarlet prides, drenched in liquid landscape, wilder wide Valhallan skies. Creatures captured through a lens these days more likely anthropized to flog insurance. Meerkats on their mobile phones or casting concrete fishing gnomes. Lip-sync babies, self-obsessed. We zoologicize ourselves to ape celebrities in the jungle. Schadenfreude levels spike to ease the pain of Brexit, Poundland, austerity. A two-stream culture, tattoo-branded, skint or landed. Zealously englanded loyalty, obsessed by Normanic, Germanic royalty. Heraldic lions, George's dragons in yellows and blues. They wander the boot sales or shopping mall queues in same directional streams, blending in fast with the bovine masses, potential for predatory eyes. The fat cat insatiable schemers stalk our unblinkable screens, eagerly explore our species, feeding from frenzies of terror and angst, seeding the creed of an angry self-doubt, not even sure what themselves are about, let alone the rest of us in the world about us. Thank you. Pilgrim. To wander abroad to help broaden the mind, a pilgrim by foot, over bridge or by ford, where the climate feels stranger each day, where the taverns and chapels that nourish our way, whether bawdy in ballad or weary sword need on cold marble to pray. The woods that surround Transylvanian sounds or the gardens around mosques as the muezzin call drowns in the Levantine dusk, the Balkan Sobrani smells, oud tainted musk, sunlight shafts golden in Ottoman dust through the smoke of a Turkish bazaar. With one foot in front of another, we're bound to make tracks, as we're sure to go far. Nothing to lose, only memories to gain. While my limbs are yet strong, let's eschew the mundane to embark on a windy night banded with rain, or a cross-channel ferry, then TGF train, reading Mark Twain or Paddy for more. Myself and my stick bag and boots tramping a vagabond trail in riparian meadows, in blossom, in bloom, where the shade of a pine lets me doze out the glare of a sintering high summer noon. This is my June poem that I mentioned earlier. It's called Gom Jabbar. Any June readers or likers in here? The thought of the weight of a swarm, skept to exploitable hive, heavy on honey recently gorged, thickly molten inside the wicker, where I desire to dip my hand within. Imagine the mass on my naked skin, a sensual interaction, pregnant with danger. Or a basket of freshly picked figs, only warm from the sun, inside with an infant asp, gladsome tranquil to calm my chimp. Mustn't sweat or grasp to a fist, dismiss the stress, caress the serene, to thrive on a surge, feeling truly alive. That one. Catch 22. Catch 22. Itches, glitches in the construct. It's the glitches in the construct when we trip a deja vu, when we realign the sample to experience something new. In the stairwell of my father's flat, a smell came back through time of my brother's place in Gothenburg in 1979. Our construct can be what we will or what we dare to find only if only if we stretch our thoughts to liberate our minds. To jamais vu, a different flavoured take on the sublime. You've seen it all before, but can't quite think it through. The system's jumped a groove and lost your thoughts in presque-vous. Have a loiter, take a linger, stick a curious finger round the patch to see what might be prized apart, potentially detached. It's in the kink's curvaceous jink. That's where the artist really had to think. I'm going to do two more. This one was inside. My son told me he watched a documentary about dragon legend throughout the planet. All cultures have it. And there's a theory as to why. And it's in this poem somewhere, if you can find it. It's called Nitro Express. Our species struggles yet to halt your planet's megafauna slaughter, raging as direct result of shrew-sized mammal throwback fear. A lizard legend, angstgestalt. Wish now, fellas, had your gobs tell stories through the heartbeat throbs of mice to monkey, proto-humans, reptiles caught then tore apart, our relatively dear departed. Bloodlines threaded deep time dread as memories jolt where serpents fed on sacrificial lonely virgins, filled their valleys, cliffside caves, smashed up skulls, crunched up bones. Your monarch still festoons his myths, elaborates his gilded homes and stories. Banners flapping, George's dragon, flutters streams off polished wagons. Presidents, moguls, czars and kings, steeped in glory from the hunt. Elephant, rhino, tigers, bears, scared by lackeys into the crosshairs of a Holland and Holland Nitro Express. And I'm going to finish with this one, which is the title poem to this pamphlet. Love's Last Remains. My love's last remains, contained above in hazel twisted basket. Heavyweight down, held apart barely by a weakened, rotten wicker casket. Threaded now through with new green root, searching deep, low and wide these tendrils run, wind into my right eye socket. Writhing along, tracing my nutrient bled trail down my back to my tail, vertebrae respined anew in strong sappy pine. My love above these winter heavy rains pushes down fast. Gravity drives our compost grave, our mortal coils unite, our skulls skewered along the same delving sprue, crushed close as two. Ancient corporal frames tumble amongst, you are mine and mine is you. Mycorrhizal gossamer quilted ribs, I often have observed your lungs, aspiring in the warm French air, amongst the breeze that caressed our billowing bedroom curtains. A last association of limbs entwined, entangled as our hair was wont. Subtle fungi, quiet at work, leeches to transfer calcific bony goodness to this living tree. Then glorious in this nascent spring, fresh and green, unfurled banners, waving in the wind, bathing in the warm white sunshine. Thank you very much for having me.